Welcome to Too Many Tabs, the only podcast where a husband and wife duo sit across from each other at a table, and one of them prepares all week by doing their research, getting deep into those web pages, to then present all of their research to their partner on the only audio-forward podcast with bisexual lighting.
Yeah, we're here.
Yeah, we're here. This is it.
Let's go.
It's another episode.
Hit the music.
Are you hype?
Yeah.
I'm pretty hyped, too.
Too many frauds and too many scammers that we wish weren't real. Too many cons and too many spammers, and we're starting to feel like we've got too many tabs open. It's too many tabs. Remember to smile.
That's right. We're back for another episode. We're having a good time. The energy's good here in the studio
today. We're vibing.
We're vibing.
Are we calling it a studio now?
I think we should start calling it the studio instead of just this random room that we barely use in our house.
Okay.
But I think the studio is good. But Mrs. P.
Yeah.
We're all here about making friends right now.
Yeah.
We've been made so many
meeting
friends.
Meeting people, shaking hands.
All the time. And it's been a growing way to meet people.
What has been growing?
A growing way to meet people.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, okay. Don't cut me off.
I got confused.
Okay, you cut me off again, I'll end this marriage.
You, number one, don't have the time nor money.
That's true. I really don't. But what I will say is that I've been meeting a lot of people on the road.
Yeah.
A ton of people have been coming out to the live stand-up shows I've started to do on part of the Super My Family tour.
Yep.
Which our first two dates are going to be coming up in June. Mm-hmm. And I'm announcing a new date today.
What?
I know. I've just
I had no idea.
I know. You definitely weren't in the room when I was like, do you like this day or this day to go to the beach? Because we're getting to it. That's right. Pearlmania 500 will be at the Jersey Shore.
Yep. But, Atlantic City, baby.
But first, we'll be at Helium Portland, Oregon on June 8th. Mm-hmm. And I'll also be at Helium in Buffalo, New York, June 13th. But now, today, we can announce that the link has gone live, that we will be at the Atlantic City on August 2nd at the Anchor Rock Club. It's like a music venue that does comedy.
Rock and roll venue where you can tell jokes.
Yeah, no, it's awesome. It's like a 200-seater, so we're trying to get as many people out there as possible. If you're already going to be down on the Jersey Shore in general, or if you just like have a...
Let me tell you something about the Atlantic City Beach.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something.
Are you going to talk about our girl?
No.
Talk about Cher?
Don't tell them about Cher.
You don't want to tell them about Cher?
We don't have time to talk about Cher. Cher is the palm reader that I always go to when I go to Atlantic City. She's got a booth on the beach.
Yeah.
Incredible.
The one who knew your friend had brain cancer? Everybody shut the fuck up. Everybody shut up. I don't believe in mediums. I don't believe in palm reading. I don't believe in any of this stuff. But this lady, Cher, looked our friend dead in the face and was like, you went through something really bad. It's over. Get over it. And our friend just had brain cancer removed via surgery. The scars that healed and stuff like that.
Kind of rude and mean about
it.
Oh my
god.
Stop
bringing it
up. I was laughing so hard because it was just so shocking.
Yeah.
But also, hear me out. She did read our palms and not tell us that the panorama was coming.
That's true. This was in 2019.
She didn't call that out.
Yeah.
But I have been back since to visit her because I appreciate her.
Yeah.
No, what I was going to say is that the Atlantic City Beach is not the prettiest beach, right?
No,
in Jersey,
it's definitely not.
But it's a free beach, y'all. Mm-hmm. And because there's so many casinos, there's free bathrooms everywhere.
There's free bathrooms
also,
everywhere.
Also, you go to Hard Rock, go to Guy Fieri's restaurant, get some type of burger with grilled cheese on it or macaroni and cheese. He does wild
shit. It doesn't matter. Hey, listen. I used to talk mad shit on Guy Fieri.
And now
I find myself quite often
in
the Guy Fieri aisle buying up all of his enchiladas.
Honestly, he's a pretty good dude. He's a pretty good dude.
Listen.
About certain things.
Everybody, I feel like this should be known lore that I'm a connoisseur of microwavable meals.
I don't know.
I feel like in the over, almost the second year of our podcast, it should have been mentioned about how much Stouffer's I put into my body.
An incredible.
Hungry Man's, all these different things. But recently I've cracked into the Guy Fieri aisle of the frozen foods.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to say,
his last name is the only thing I can pronounce correctly. It's Fieri.
Oh, okay. I apologize.
It's the only thing I know how to say.
My apologies. I cracked into his enchilada bowl. Elite.
Yeah.
His Sloppy Joe mac and cheese. One of the worst things I've ever tasted. There's no in between.
There's no in between.
With Guy Fieri.
No. So we need to get off of the Guy Fieri's topic.
We do. Because we have, this is a heavier topic today.
It's not a... Okay, there are heavy parts.
Okay.
I'm going to be honest with you. There's some weight yeah. to this topic. But mostly, there's just a lot of information. This was a lot of gathering stuff from the internet. I've never had more tabs open in my life that I had to leave open on the computer to come back to the next day.
Mm-hmm.
So we got to get right into it.
This did end up in one of the situations where I went to go use the family computer. Because, yeah, we have a family computer. Shut the fuck up. But anyway, I went to go use the family. And you were like, don't touch any tabs. Don't even look at them.
Don't even close the window.
Open a new window. Yeah. And I was like, whoa. Listen, that's some research.
I was in it.
So you would say that you definitely had open too many tabs?
Absolutely.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems. But getting therapy has its own problems too. Like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
We're back. Here we are. You've told me I need to shut up because you got a lot of stuff to cover.
I got a lot to do.
And then you just pulled out a giant bag.
I pulled out a giant bag.
It's a very heavy bag. Yeah. It's a very, very, very heavy bag. And you said, this is my topic. And I'm afraid there's a head in there.
There might be.
Okay.
So here's what happened.
Okay.
First, we did Burt's Bees.
We did do Burt's Bees. Yes.
And then RIP, Bob's Red Mill episode, the goat, Bob. What happened was after both of those.
Yeah.
I've been getting so many people inboxing me on my Instagram, on our Patreon, and just in our general Gmail, asking me, suggesting, please do an episode on this topic.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so I'm taking the suggestion, okay. And I spent the week researching it, and it's been incredible. There's so much information, which will not shock anybody once they realize what I'm going to be talking about.
Okay.
But before I get to that, I really enjoy getting the suggestions from our listeners. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to put up a post on our Patreon on May 1st that'll be open till May 10th for everybody to leave any of their suggestions.
Okay.
Any idea you think would be a fun for me to cover or for you to cover, Alex to cover, let us know and I'll start looking in these things and seeing what'll be a good fit.
Yep. And if anybody wants to join that, you can do pearlmania500.net or patreon.com/pearlmania500 or go to the show notes or the links or any of our link trees. It's everywhere. Yeah. We have it everywhere. We want to make sure that everybody can always get access
so
to that.
Okay. So here is my giant bag that I have.
Oh my God.
Our topic.
Oh my God. Okay. Okay. All right.
If so you like have to a bag. He's pulling things out of it.
Okay. It is full of bottles.
Yeah, bottles.
This is full of bottles. This one says Dr. Bronner's Siberian Fir and Spruce Sal Suds Biodegradable Cleaner.
Yeah. Fun fact, I for the longest time thought that was called Sal's Suds.
Yeah.
Because I thought it was from a guy named Sal.
Okay.
Turns out not, just Sal Suds.
So there's a big bottle
Learned
of that.
That lesson during my research.
This next one is an 18-in-1 hemp eucalyptus pure Castile soap.
Yep.
Again, Dr. Bronner's.
Yep.
Family soap maker since 1858.
Yep.
This one's a refill of the pure Castile soap.
And it looks like a milk carton.
Yeah,
it's
does.
Important.
It's important that it looks like a milk carton?
Yeah, it's important.
Okay. Well, it's got a, looks more like a buttermilk carton, honestly.
Oh, don't you bring up
buttermilk. No, because
right
it has
now.
The little thing.
I'm so mad about the buttermilk.
I know, because you accidentally bought buttermilk the other day.
I accidentally bought buttermilk, and now I'm cooking all kinds of buttermilk.
Speaking of which, we got a 4-in-1 baby unsanded organic sugar soap from Dr. Bronner's.
Yep, it's for the babies.
Right here, yeah. And again, these labels, just for the listeners at home who are listening at work and everything, the labels are just like, they're classic, like 1800s label. Mm-hmm. It feels very early 2000s too, when like yep. certain labels were really going out of their way there. We got here. This is Dough Toothpaste, Dr. Bronner's Cinnamon, all one tooth, not all in one, nope. just all one all toothpaste. All one.
Exclamation point.
Okay. And then last thing here. Dr. Bronner's Peppermint Organic Hand Sanitizer. See, this looks like it should be a breath spray to
me. Nope, do not do that.
I'm
Trust
not.
Me, don't.
It smells
it's so strong.
Very strong.
Okay, so I am getting the vibe from you that you don't know what you're looking at
I
right
have
now.
No
and
idea
that's
what I'm
incredible going. To me. How it's not often that we find a thing where you've been under a rock a bit.
Yeah.
And there's something that, number one, I know a lot about. Now specifically, but also that our listeners know a lot about,
I've
and
never,
you don't.
I've never seen this. Where did you get these? Okay. Where did you go to buy them?
Number one, health food stores.
Oh, well, there we go. I'm never in those.
No, they sell them everywhere. Specifically, this one. This is the Pure Castile soap. This is the OG right here. This one.
Yeah.
So,
what does it smell like?
That's eucalyptus. It's my favorite smell.
Oh, it's still got a thing on the inside.
So. When I was younger, in my 20s,
yeah.
I was a big fan, I'm still a big fan, of the Dr. Bronner's Peppermint Castile, because after a long day of waiting tables, riding my bike, you know, to and from West Philly to South Philly, yeah. going to community college for night classes, like those long summer days,
yeah.
the peppermint body wash was the only thing that could make me feel human again.
Yeah. To be clear to everybody, when you say bike, you mean bicycle.
Yeah.
Because you were not a motorcycle gal. You would like to be, I think
some.
But you used to ride a bicycle when we lived in Philly. You were biking everywhere. You didn't even have a driver's license.
No, I didn't get a driver's license until I was 37 years old.
Yep.
When we moved to the suburbs.
I forced you out of the house. I got you out here.
I said, oh no.
Yeah.
I'm stranded.
I said, you cannot ride a bicycle here.
You
They'll kill you.
People out here purposely try to hit each other. It's
no,
weird.
No, it's insane. But yeah, so this, I honestly... I think I remember seeing a bottle of this when we first started dating.
Yeah.
And I just assumed it was just some hippie shit. And I was
it
like,
is,
well, she's
it is
nice.
Absolutely some hippie
this
shit.
This is hippie shit? Okay.
Yeah, for sure.
That's another reason why I don't know what it is. But yeah. I don't know.
And also, so the Peppermint Castile and then this toothpaste, the Cinnamon All-One Toothpaste, was one of my favorites because I love cinnamon toothpaste.
Okay.
As you know, cinnamon's my second favorite flavor profile after lemon.
Yep.
And so I would always use this because it's hard to find cinnamon toothpaste.
Yeah.
You can usually find it at the Latin markets. It's called Canel toothpaste. But yeah, so I don't know if you looked at the bottle closely. So you're talking about how the label looks.
It looks busy. It's very busy, but it's all just words.
Some of it.
Okay, so this is on the 18-in-1 hemp eucalyptus pure castile soap.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. It says, absolute cleanliness is godliness. Teach the moral ABC that unites all mankind free, instantly 6 billion strong, and we're all one. Listen, children, eternal father, eternally one. What the fuck? From Jesus' manual of discipline based on Hillel's moral ABC, the army of prince. What the fuck are we going? Dude, Muhammad?
Yeah. Yep.
Why is Muhammad Arabs? What the fuck is down here? Who are my sisters? What the? I thought this was like, hey, we get our finest eucalyptus from these farms here down in Eucalyptus Town. Instead, this is like a schizophrenic's journal. Like when they show in a movie,
yep.
when they open a door and somebody's scrawled all over the walls. Like this is everywhere.
So put that in your little pocket, that thought, okay? And today's episode is going to be on Dr. Bronner's highly requested, highly suggested Dr. Bronner's Castile soap. And so I brought in some of my favorites to show you, and we can discuss it as we go through. And the label, this episode is about the label, okay?
It's about the label?
Because the label is iconic. I think you're the only person in the world that's never read this or doesn't understand why this label's so
No,
like,
what's
iconic.
Crazy, so what's crazy, right, is as I'm looking at this, right, in the label, in the middle here where there is like what is the soap and like the ingredients, that is so little of the full. There is so many words on this bottle.
Yeah.
But just the middle is like, here you go. It's mostly, you know, it's diluted with water. You're going to definitely dilute this.
Yep.
You know,
it's a concentrate, y'all. Always diluted.
Yeah, always diluted. And it's some stuff about fair trade and our system. And then it's like, okay, cool, cool, cool. What's the outside? Muhammad and the law. You're like, what the fuck is happening here?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. All right. So how do we get here?
So let me talk to you about Emil Heilbronner.
Heilbronner. Is Heil the middle name?
No, that's the last name. It's Emil Heilbronner, one word.
Oh, Heilbronner is one word.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm guessing at some point Heil got dropped.
Yep.
Okay.
So he was born in February 1st, 1908 in Heilbronn, Germany.
Oh, okay.
That's where the name comes from.
Heilbronn. Okay.
Heilbronn, Germany. He was a third generation master soap maker, trained under the German craftsman system, which involved years of apprenticeship, journeyman, and finally a qualification as master.
Okay.
So he got his, in quotes, master's degree of soap making.
I am the soap master.
He is absolutely the soap master. but that answer.
Could you imagine being a soap Padawan?
Because you had said 1858, right? That's what it says on the label.
Yeah, it says family soap maker since 1858.
So that talks about his whole family.
That's the lineage.
The lineage.
So 50 years.
So his family owned a very successful soap company in Germany called Mattiform Soap.
Okay.
And he was a part of the family business, obviously, with all of the training he was doing. He ended up leaving the family company and immigrating to the United States. And it was not because of the rise of Nazism, which was happening in Germany, because they didn't feel it was a threat at that time. It was actually because of a break in the relationship with his father. At 21, Emil was already starting to think very outside of the box, especially outside of the box of his Orthodox Jewish family and his father's views.
Okay.
Okay. So his
so his dad's an Orthodox Jewish soap maker, mm-hmm. second generation. They're successful. They have a business. His son is in his early 20s and won't shut up.
Basically, he has a lot of thoughts about philosophy, religion, art, the world as a whole, humanity.
Okay.
And he's constantly talking about it.
And he's 21 and acts like he's been around the world and seen it. And his dad's like, shut the fuck up.
His dad's like, not in my household.
Got it.
So
got it.
Eventually his dad gives him an ultimatum. And it's basically like, either you nix the philosophy and the constant talking of things outside of the box of what, you know, our religion is, or you have to leave.
Either you stick with the orthodoxy of Orthodox Judaism,
yep.
or beat it.
Beat it. And so he did. He beat it. He went to America.
Left. Okay.
He immigrated to America.
Okay.
He spent the first 10 years in America struggling, but trying very hard. In the 1930 census, they found him living at the YMCA in Milwaukee. It was noted that he did, in quotes, live at the YMCA, but he often slept on the roof with the pigeons most nights.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I'm starting to feel a theme here.
Yep. Okay.
Okay.
Emil loved to dance. Big fan of the music. Big fan of German culture.
Okay. Hold on. So he's a master soap maker.
Yep.
Who sleeps with the pigeons.
Yep.
And then likes doing German dancing in Milwaukee?
Yes. Well, I told you he was in Milwaukee.
Yeah, no, you said he's in Milwaukee. I mean, that makes sense because that region, especially the upper Midwest, was highly settled by Germans.
Yep.
Norwegians, too, and like other people from the Scandinavia area. But like, there's a lot of like polka.
Yeah. That, he loves it. Waltz, baby.
He's a waltz guy?
So he joined several Germanic groups in Milwaukee, with the Bavarian Club being his favorite.
Yeah.
He would later write on his soap labels that cows that listen to Strauss waltzes gave more milk. Okay.
Okay. I feel like that's a weird thing to test.
At one of these dances, he met fellow German immigrant Paula Wohlfahrt. That is spelled Wohlfahrt. Wohlfahrt. Anyway, they fall in love.
Okay.
And fun fact, I found only a blip about her when it comes to like her past life. She was the illegitimate daughter of a nun and a priest. And I couldn't find any more info than that, but I was like, damn, Paula.
Yeah.
Shit.
She's seen stuff too.
So he became naturalized in 1936.
Okay. It was because his full citizenship.
Got
and all
his
that
full
stuff.
Citizenship.
Okay.
And at this point, this is when Emil Heilbronner becomes Emmanuel Theodor Bronner. He drops the Heil because of its association to the salute to Hitler.
Oh, well, that's good.
So he removes the Heil completely.
Yeah, because by this point, they're really been coming up over
there. It's 1936.
Yeah, it's 1930. It's not good. Not a good time.
So he has three children with Paula.
Okay.
Which he baptizes Lutheran.
And oh, okay.
He gives them less Jewish sounding names, believed for their safety, because he saw a lot of growing anti-Semitism.
Yeah.
So he named his children Ellen, Ralph, and James.
There's also in that area, again, because of the high German population, there mm-hmm. was a lot more connections. I mean, there was an American Nazi party. There still is, but there was then too.
Yeah.
That was growing at the time. There's actually a really great documentary about Madison Square Garden being taken over by American fascists.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and you can watch it, like, when you see it, like, you see, like, Jews, like, show up to, like, beat the shit out of Nazis, and there's basically just, like, fist fights outside of Madison Square Garden. Like, it was very contentious. We act here like, oh, we were just like, no, Nazis bad. It's like, no, it took a bit.
It took a minute.
It took a bit to get there, and if Pearl Harbor hadn't happened, it would have been a harder transition. Mm-hmm. So.
Should we go back to punching Nazis in the street?
We should never have stopped.
So, later he adopted an honorific doctor. Because he considered it the equivalent of master, the rank in Germany, which did not exist in the States.
Oh, so Dr. Bronner, the doctor part, that's like
he's
the colonel?
He's a doctor of soap.
This is like the colonel in Sanders?
No. He got his master in soap making, and there's no master of soap making in America, made up his own thing.
I just want to state that there's no masters in soap. You can be a master in your field, but it's not a master's degree.
It's doctor of soap.
Okay.
Okay. And so,
He's the soap doctor. Who makes the strongest peppermint hand sanitizer.
You can still sell it.
I smell it across the room.
When you use the Castile body wash in peppermint, it's the similar, which is why it was always my end of day body wash in the summertime, because it was so tingly. I don't recommend using it on your parts.
I feel like this can,
it's intense.
I feel like this can clear my sinuses.
Absolutely.
Like one squirt.
Yeah. They don't mess around with that peppermint oil.
No.
So Emmanuel had been pleading with his family to leave Germany for years at this point.
His dad and all those people.
His dad and his mom and his rest of his family. He'd been really begging them and pleading with them to leave Germany.
Yep.
Trying to help them immigrate, everything. His father would not listen to his son's warnings, insisting that his homeland would never betray him and that Hitler was just a passing phase.
Okay.
The decree on the exclusion of Jews from German economic life in 1939 eventually led to the forced Aryanization of Jewish-owned businesses, including the Heilbronner's Matiform soap factory. The letter from the new owner, Dr. H. Bowder, cheerfully announced that the famous Matiform soap company had, in quotes, passed into Aryan hands.
Yep.
In 1949, Berthold, that's his father's name, Berthold, finally agreed to arrange immigration. It was illegal for Jews to leave Germany to carry any capital with them, so they would have left penniless. Approval came through for their visas on December 5th, 1941, 2 days before Pearl Harbor, and 6 days prior to Germany's December 11th declaration of war on the U.S. Their approval was quickly revoked. 3 months.
So he was approved and then they couldn't leave.
He was approved and then it was immediately revoked by the government.
Okay.
3 months later, on March 31st, 1942, Berthold Heilbronner, his wife Franziska, and sister-in-law Friedrich were arrested and deported to, I'm going to say this wrong, Therestat ghetto in Czechoslovakia, where Berthold and his sister-in-law Friedrich died shortly after arriving of illnesses brought on by the purposefully wretched conditions. Mm-hmm. After 2 years there, Franziska was sent to Auschwitz, where she was executed in 1944. Emmanuel received a postcard from his father with everything but one line censored out. You were right, your loving father.
Damn.
Yeah. So this weighed heavily on Emmanuel and Paula, his wife. The news of her in-laws' deaths proved unbearable for Paula. Experiencing a breakdown, she entered the local state asylum, in which she wasted away, dying at 65 pounds in 1944. These personal tragedies would bring anyone to the brink of emotional destruction.
Yeah.
Like, this is insane. It was so hard to write. I was crying while I was writing it. You came upstairs. I was like, I've been crying for 30 minutes typing this. But Emmanuel is, like, he's just a different person, right?
Yeah.
He is dealing with this immense personal tragedy. He's actually also really deeply afraid of the rise of the nuclear age. He doesn't believe humanity should have nuclear power.
Okay.
He also believed deeply that we were heading in the wrong direction environmentally. With the advent of, quotes, better living through chemistry, a tagline inspired by DuPont Chemical, effectively persuading the public that nature was unpredictable and untrustworthy, business and chemical development was more reliable, and we can synthesize everything mankind needs from petrochemicals. Dr. Bronner
oil.
First saw the short-sightedness of this thinking, and that the pollution and habitat destruction would ultimately create deep chaos. And so this was just so much. He's like, the environment's going nuclear, his family, so much of his family has passed away. So he is like really broken, and like he feels all of this deeply. He writes about how deeply he feels this. He is really upset, obviously. However, other people may have been driven to bitterness and despair. Dr. Bronner went in the complete opposite direction.
Okay.
He saw the need more than ever to unify the world, to call out humanity's commonalities and to highlight the way in which people are similar, and to call each individual into action wherever they find themselves. So he used this as a jumping off point to like talk passionately about peace and advocate for care of each other and the world.
Okay.
However, little hiccup, if you will, he had his heavy German accent, rigid posture, and emphatically clipped way of speaking made it so he was kind of unnerving. So like,
because everybody just went through so much.
Because like, he would be talking about like, we need to like be peaceful and love each other, but it was like in this very intense way.
Yeah, because especially because we just went through like 7 years of propaganda of when someone walks in and goes, we must unify the world. It doesn't work.
It's a bit much.
Yeah, okay. So
this manifested, this issue manifested during a speech he was giving at the University of Chicago in 1946.
Okay, so he was, just after the war.
He's at the University of Chicago in the square,
yeah,
talking to the students and people that will listen, talking about basically his manifesto of love and peace and taking care of ourselves and the planet and each other.
Yeah.
He was arrested for speaking without a permit, and he was committed to the Eaglin State Asylum, where he underwent electroshock therapy.
Oh.
To which he later attributed his eventual blindness.
Well, hold on. Okay.
Let's take a minute. We've been through a lot. This has been a lot.
Give me a second here. I got to catch up. So this man, this clearly, he has a mental issue somewhere in there.
Mm-hmm.
Whether or not he's schizophrenic, whatever it is. Because the way this bottle is written and some of the other things you've described to me are, there's like a mania to it.
Yeah. So I could never find in all of the reading I did, nobody clearly states he had schizophrenia or bipolar or anything like that.
Yeah.
However, there are so many flags.
Yeah.
There are so many signs that, you know, even from his young age, when his dad was like, you have to stop with your, you know, the talking and the philosophizing, all that stuff.
And the interconnectedness of a lot of things.
Exactly. Yeah. So I think there may have been something. They didn't diagnose it back then. You know, maybe it was just like, oh, that's just.
Well, it was one of those things back then. If you got diagnosed, they put you away.
Yeah.
That was one thing. I mean, that's when you said that they put him in Chicago, they put him in a mental institution, a mental asylum. Like, that was another way of just, like, getting rid of people who were problematic.
Exactly.
It'd be like, oh, you're being really annoying to the local mayor.
Oh, you're a woman?
Okay.
Get in there.
Yeah, well, that too. you know, quit talking so much.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so, I mean, that's just, okay. All right. You really... We're still talking about soap, right?
Yeah, we're talking about soap.
We're going to get back to soap?
We're talking about a soap label.
Okay, we're going to get back to Dr. Bronner's soap.
My next sentence just starts, on his third escape attempt.
Okay, all right. Okay, so now okay.
He's in Chicago. He's been arrested and put in a sanitarium.
Okay, real quick, that's now two connections, by the way, to the Stranger Things.
What?
So when you said his wife's name was like Wolfhard, I was like Wolfhard, like Finn Wolfhard?
Oh.
Which is like the kid from Stranger Things.
Yeah.
And then the other one, you keep saying Chicago, I keep thinking of that song by the one dude from Stranger Things just wrote, like he wrote a DJ song. It's like, gonna back in Chicago. It was trending on TikTok, and then the government was like, this is too powerful,
yeah,
and they
no
banned
more
TikTok
for you.
Yeah.
Okay, so on his third escape attempt,
okay,
he succeeded.
Okay.
He stole $5 out of a purse and hitchhiked towards California.
Okay. I love this.
Yeah.
By the way, I miss these days.
Yeah.
I miss the days where if you escaped from a mental institution in Chicago, just go to California just and be a different person.
That's literally what California is built upon.
No, but that's literally every story before 1980.
Yeah, you just go to California. That's why it's full of
so many
weirdos.
Of them.
I love them.
No, that was one of my favorite things I ever, when I was in New Mexico, people in New Mexico told me. Basically, everyone, all of their family story was they were fled from somewhere. They were told Texas was good, and they got to Texas, and it sucked.
Yeah.
And then they kept going until they got to New Mexico, and then they kept going because they're really aiming for California. And they got to Arizona, and they're like, oh, man, New Mexico was fine. And they turned back around. That's almost every story.
They were like, Arizona sucks.
Arizona sucks. I don't want to, listen.
I didn't want to try to finish.
We're walking. We don't want to get to California.
It's too hot.
It's too hot. It's too hot.
So... he's hitchhiked towards California.
Okay.
They stop in Vegas.
Of course.
While they're in Vegas, he makes the mistake of mentioning to his ride, the guy, that he had recently escaped from a mental asylum.
Ah, Dr. Broder!
So his ride dropped him, immediately abandoned him.
But didn't call the cops.
Didn't call the cops, just abandoned him.
All right, you know what? To the ride, honestly, first thing, you took a risk. You picked up a hitchhiker.
Yeah.
And then the hitchhiker dropped the all-time bar of, I just escaped from a mental institution.
And you know what? You're like, that's okay. I'm going to go.
Yeah. No, listen. Hey, you know what? This one's on me. Like, that was one of those.
This is me.
But also, you picked up a man with the thickest German accent in history. Who's like, I tried to warn my family. I just escaped from a mental institution.
Yep. So he was promptly abandoned near penniless in Vegas, but
it's Vegas.
I swear he had one lucky spin on the roulette table and made enough money to get to the rest of the way to LA.
LA.
He made it to LA.
It wasn't called LA back then.
No, it was Los Angeles.
Yeah.
But now we call it LA.
But hold on. The fact that he, what did he put it? What did he bet on? Did it say?
It doesn't say.
Fuck, I want to know that number so bad. I want to know what color. I always play outside odds.
Yeah.
When I do, I like roulette. I play outside. I do red or black or odd even, or even like the rose.
Yeah.
I don't like picking an exact number. That feels crazy to me. You don't like gambling.
Yeah, I don't like it.
The biggest gamble you've ever taken was on me.
Oh.
In this marriage and this podcast.
In LA, he found a more receptive audience. Pershing Square, which is, I guess, a very famous place where people go and like talk about.
Is that like their Hyde Park?
Yes, it's very that.
Okay.
So he would go there and like talk about his ideals and his ideas for the world.
Yeah. And then the LA was like, we got to stop this. Build highways and make everybody drive.
He was grateful to have an outlet for his ideas.
Yep.
And began giving away listeners small bottles of his family's unique Castile soap, scented with skin-tingling peppermint essential oils he brewed up in his tenement apartment.
Okay. I was going to ask. I was like, how does he have... Because he was in a mental institution. He escaped. I'm like, did he escape with a box of... I'm picturing him with like a box of tinctures.
Well, you know what happened? And I didn't put this in here. While he was in the mental institution, it doesn't say how long he was in there. I mean, three escapes.
That's pretty big.
A bit of time. So he learned how to lay bricks while he was in there because they had to do manual labor.
Oh.
So I think when
you can't just be insane.
No.
You have to also be productive.
Get to work.
Oh my God.
So when he got to LA, I believe he started using that bricklaying skill to get money, and then he started using that money to make the Castile soap.
Gotcha.
And then he would give it out like the kind of this size.
Yeah.
Small bottles to people that came to see him.
Okay, gotcha.
Eventually he noticed that people were coming for the soap and would not stay to engage with his ideas.
Oh, that's some good soap, but that man's fucking nuts.
Yeah, that guy will not stop talking.
Oh, man.
But that soap, good.
He keeps mentioning, he keeps saying we're all one.
Yeah.
But I'm just telling you, dude, when I wash my hands, I feel good.
Yeah. He was unthwarted. Emmanuel came up with a plan to print his ideas on the label of the soap so that when people took the soap and inevitably were stuck in the bathroom with nothing to read, they would turn to the words on the label.
This is incredible.
This is a man who understands what happens in the bathroom before cell phones.
Is this why they invented Reader's Digest?
Yeah, to get away
the CIA. The CIA invented Reader's Digest to quiet Dr. Bronner's message to the world of when you're pooping, you need to learn that if we really want brotherhood, progress, peace, not war, we must not only listen to the neighbor whom we choose, but also the one whom God sends. Otherwise, we're all still beasts, not yet human. Exceptions? Eternally? Absolutely none. Jesus, manual of discipline. He keeps saying manual of discipline.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We'll get to that.
Okay.
So this is when the Dr. Bronner's label was born. Because he creates the label, the one that you just picked up on the classic Castile soap. There are approximately 3,000 words on every quart bottle. Okay?
3,000?
That's how many are on the classic quart. 3,000.
Oh, my God.
Everything,
how many words on like a regular college ruled paper?
Everything on the side of the Dr. Bronner's bottles is what he calls his moral ABCs.
Okay.
He believed that we are all fellow travelers on God's spaceship, Earth.
Okay.
Where there is neither east nor west, nor border, breed, nor birth. This is the essence of what he came to call his moral ABCs.
Okay.
I mean, this is what he was talking about at Pershing Square.
Can I tell you?
Yeah.
Honestly, like if you're kind of crazy, I like this.
Yeah.
This is good. Like I've been looking over this label a little bit here and there. And, like, there's nothing wild in this.
No.
You know what I mean?
Sometimes it talks about the cows. Sometimes there's weird stuff in there once
in
a while.
But it's in general just kind of, like, be good to each other and stop being, like, this isn't too bad.
Yeah. So he starts selling the soap via mom and pop shops and health stores.
In L.A.
In California.
In L.A.
In L.A. He saw stores as further distribution points of his philosophy, with the proceeds going to further the outreach of his ideas.
Gotcha.
Okay.
So, okay. Got it. So each store is now like a franchise in the sermons of his bottles.
Exactly.
Okay.
He's
only trying to get bigger so more people read his sermon.
Exactly. That is exactly. He
doesn't care about the money?
He doesn't care about the money. He cares about the quality of the soap because the soap represents his family and his lineage.
Yeah.
So he cares deeply about the soap.
But also, if the soap is good, then you're going to want the bottle, and then the bottle contains the message.
Exactly.
This is like a reverse NFT.
He also communicated with anyone who wanted to talk to him about the label, sometimes for hours. He used to put his phone number on the label so you could call him if you had questions or thoughts about the label. And people would be upset by the label and be like, well, you can't talk about Jesus and Allah in the same breath, right? And so they will call him angrily, and he would just argue with them, but not in a mean way. Like, he just was like, let's talk about it.
No, but this is also like, that's the most Jewish shit I've ever heard. I'm just like, okay, wait, let's keep talking. And it's like, eventually they just give up. Like, I guarantee you that he never hung up on anyone.
No, absolutely
I guarantee
not.
The other, whoever called him to debate, they just submitted. And also, this is back when you got charged like the minute.
Yeah.
So some people probably called him collect. He probably accepted the charges. He was like, yeah, let's go.
Let's go. I'm making soap.
Let's go. Could you imagine? Oh my God, he'd crush it as a Twitch streamer. Just hours. He would just be Dr. Bronner.
Yo.
He has built in products,
yep.
Right? Built-in product line.
Mm-hmm.
He can do the upsells on that, constantly be talking about his Jesus, Muhammad stuff that he has on here on the bottle.
Karl Marx is heavily talked about in there too.
Yeah, I know. There's a lot.
It's a lot of people.
Yeah.
So he moves down to Escondido, California.
Escondido.
That's it. He wanted to be closer to avocados, which he deemed nature's perfect food, which are mentioned also on the label. He talks about how avocados are the most perfect food.
Stop. Oh my God. Stop. Avocados?
Yeah.
I mean, they're super fruit, but like...
He's like, gotta get closer. I need access.
Could you imagine? Hold on, real quick. We have an Orthodox Jew born in Germany in 1908, mm-hmm. and now he's like, avocados are perfect. Imagine that swing.
Yeah.
That is a life.
Yeah.
That is a life. Oh my God. And now he's just... I gotta move. What? Gotta be closer to avocados.
I need more.
But he didn't say it like that. He didn't say it all chill like that. He's like, I must be closer to avocados.
Very much that. Yeah. The growing sales meant his ideas were getting into more homes. So he operated under the conviction that this was a not-for-profit organization, which his purpose was to spread the ideas of the, quote, all one God faith.
Okay.
Okay?
I mean, yeah. I mean, one thing that's always bugged me is, like, theologically, right, when you go, you look at it, like, Christianity is just Judaism part two, right? Mm-hmm. And, like,
Electric Boogaloo.
And Islam is just Judaism part three. Like, they all have the same dude. They all have the same general lore. There's small issues here and there. And, like, I can already feel that getting taken out of context. But I don't care. Like, there are, like, Jesus is mentioned in the Bible. Moses, I mean, in the Quran, all these different things. Like, when you go through all of them, they all have overlaps. Because it's all just, they're all just cousins. This whole, that whole region, it's just one long cousin fight.
Anyway.
All right.
Dr. Bronner was constantly revising the label forever.
Of course.
Even as his vision declined, he edited and rewrote using red crayon.
I forgot he went blind due to the shock therapy.
Which was the last implement he could see well.
Okay.
After he could no longer see the bright red crayon, he then dictated his revisions. If he didn't have anyone around to listen, he would call up his son Ralph, who lived in Milwaukee still, or one of his grandkids to have them take notes. So it was notorious for him to call at like 3 a.m.
Of course.
But like that was also California time. So
like he'd call Milwaukee. It's like 5 a.m. Yeah.
He would call Milwaukee in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
And it like his grandkids would be like, all right, bop, bop. Like, I don't know what they call it.
Peepaw.
Peepaw. Dr. Bronner always felt like his label was near completion.
It's probably Zadie, honestly, if it's Yiddish.
Was near completion and occasionally would announce triumphantly that the label was finished. Until the next idea came along and he would start editing it again.
Yeah. Gotta fit.
So what he would do, right, is he would come up with new scents so that he could have a new label to fill. So every scent has different information. So at the top bar, you'll usually get the classic moral ABCs. They'll probably be a Dr. Bronner's like list, a listicle of like a couple numbers down one side.
Yeah.
But for every scent, so like the hemp citrus and the rose, they all have different kind of like other paragraphs fed in.
I've noticed something here and I'm not going to mention it.
Okay. And so the only one that's like a kind of like a fun fact is he has a lavender scent. And on the lavender scent is a focus on his poetry he wrote. Okay. So the lavender one has poetry excerpts that he wrote poetry
this
on.
This one's for the ladies.
This is lavender. It's to relax you.
So, okay. Well, all right. I feel like at Lavender, we should take a break.
Let's take a little break.
I feel like I've been through so much.
Yeah.
And when we come back, we will then discuss how we got here.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
And we're back. All right, so he's gone blind from the shock therapy he received that he from the insane asylum he was illegally placed in for being too annoying at a college.
Yep.
Because he wanted to stop people from destroying the environment and ushering in a nuclear age that he was reacting to because his family died in the Holocaust.
Yep.
In Germany after he had to leave them behind because he and his dad had an argument due to his burgeoning probably schizophrenia or a mania of some sort.
Yep.
Okay. I just wanted to catch us up. And he's been printing all of this on a label to stop it from ever happening again.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
Dr. Brunner received many solicitations from people who wanted to private label the soap. Do you know what private labeling is?
Is that when you like go put your label on his stuff?
Basically.
Okay. Yeah. It's so ghostwriting. It's ghostwriting.
Well, it's kind of like when you go buy like a store brand peanut butter, but it's actually just Skippy, you know? Or like how a lot of things at Trader Joe's are actually other companies' stuff.
Oh, okay. I didn't know
like,
that.
So there's like this company called Tate's Cookies. Remember you used to buy them for me?
Yeah.
But they're anti-union scum, so we don't buy them anymore.
Yeah. Fuck you, Tate's.
So Tate's Cookies. If you go to like Trader Joe's or some other stores, you'll find a bag that looks exactly like them and the cookies are exactly the same. But it just says Trader Joe's on it. That's a private label.
Gotcha. Okay. Which sucks because I really liked them.
Yeah.
They were good cookies, but they're from bad people.
Yeah, so I'm not buying them.
That means they're bad cookies.
I can make my own fucking cookies.
You can make your own cookies. You're good at making cookies. Yeah, give me a pound dog.
Yeah, dude.
That's what I'm talking about.
Okay, so these people would reach out all the time and want to private label his soap. Some felt the label was a little too out there, a little too boundary pushing. Wouldn't the soap sell more if it had a simpler label that left off the references to Buddha, Confucius, Moses, Jesus, Muhammad, question mark?
They don't get the point of the soap. The soap is about the message. The message isn't ruining the soap.
So Dr. Bronner said unequivocally, there is no soap without the label. The label was not there to sell the soap. The soap was there to distribute the label. If someone did not want the label, they could not sell the soap. The end. That's it. That's his business plan.
I love it. I'm obsessed with this. Honestly, this is one of those things. I'm trying to think. This feels very Forrest Gumpy in that, like, I have this certain thing and it's working.
Yeah.
Right? Clearly, because here we are. We're in a whole other century and we're still talking about this soap.
Yeah.
You went out and you bought this like 2 days ago.
Yeah.
Because you were like, I'm doing this. I got to go get it.
Well, I wanted to make sure you could understand what the bottle looks like.
Yeah.
And you need to see it in person.
Yeah.
So, you know, I wanted to show you that there are different things on different bottles and there's different things that have, you'll see.
Yeah.
So, even when the soap sold well, Dr. Bronner did not live lavishly on his profits ever. He championed a concept called constructive capitalism, which he did not originate, but he did put into practice. The idea, in his words, was to, quote, share the profits with the workers and the earth from which you made it, end quote. So he paid the workers generously and gave away much of his profits. So when he was living in the avocado fields, he had like a 2-bedroom ranch house that didn't have air conditioning. Like he just was vibing.
Yeah.
And that was his whole thing.
Oh, no. I have to live in my 2-bedroom rancher in my avocado field.
What a bummer.
I know. Like that's the thing. That's always annoys me so much about so many. Like there is a point where like you can't do anything with this extra money.
Yeah.
And like all he's doing is like some of them, it's like, yeah, they're reinvesting into the company.
Yeah.
Which, okay, I get
that.
Because
he needs to come up with new scents.
Yeah, because that way he can put more messaging on
it. Exactly.
I understand that.
The investment isn't in the scents.
I understand that. But the fact that he's just like, yeah, pay everybody really well. Like, fuck, dude, this is so wild.
So here's what happens, right? The IRS.
Oh, he didn't pay his taxes.
Eventually, through court action in 1973, requires Dr. Bronner to regard his business as a company and not a non-for-profit organization.
Oh, really? They actually came down that hard on it?
Yeah, they were like, you're not a non-profit. And he's like, no, I am. This is all one.
Oh, he should have.
It's my moral ABCs.
It was the 80s when they really tore the lid off of you can call anything a church.
Yeah, so in
the 70s they were really bringing down on that.
So he was forced to pay taxes and make himself a business. His son really I think James, the oldest, he really took the lead on kind of handling the tax situation and getting everything in the business.
Well, because he's in like his late 60s at this point.
Also,
right?
I didn't really get into this, but a lot of the pictures you'll see of Dr. Bronner, he's usually shirtless and they don't show them. Hold on. Wait, no, don't click yet. I have to finish explaining. He's usually vibing without a shirt on, wearing flip-flops, and notoriously wore leopard print swim trunks all the time.
What?
Just, that's it. He was just vibing out in leopard print swim trunks and flip-flops day in and day out. Sometimes he wore other clothes.
Hold on.
But that's how you have to picture him, okay?
Okay. No.
Because this is not a man who wants to file with the IRS.
Of course not. This is not a man who's like, let's go to H&R Block. Like, he's not going to do that.
No.
Okay, hold on. Wait.
Yeah.
Okay. Leopard print?
Yeah. Leopard print shorts.
Leopard print shorts. Hold on. I got to pull it up. I'm going to pull up my phone.
Oh, okay.
Dr. Bronner picture. Let me just see what this is.
He's also very tan from laying around in the California sunshine all day long. No sunblock.
He's very skinny. Is this who I'm... Is this the...
Let me see.
Hold on.
No dead air.
I'm trying. Sorry. Is that him?
That's him, yeah.
Okay, that's him right there.
That's
all right,
his
but I'm looking for the leopard print.
I don't think I ever saw a picture of him in the leopard print. I saw pictures of him shirtless with his shorts on.
Yeah, he's very skinny.
But it was discussed that all of his family members always were like, Grandpa was always in his leopard print shorts.
Yeah. Is he was he like a vegan as well?
Yeah.
Is? Okay. I had a feeling just from like looking at him, like, cause he's like rail thin in a lot of these pictures.
So the label is currently preserved in its original state. Any changes that have to be made are made with the utmost care, keeping true to the spirit and intent of Dr. Bronner's work. It is suggested, but again, I couldn't find proof, that in his dying will, estate, whatever, he kind of demanded that the label never be touched.
Yeah.
But like when he handed the company over to his family, he was like, you can have it all, but don't ever fucking touch that label.
Well, I mean, to be fair, yeah, I get that. Because also the label has worked.
Yeah. So the only times any edits were made is when the FDA required it.
Oh, really?
Which is why I believe what you saw here is what happened.
So yeah, so on the small, the peppermint organic hand sanitizer, mm-hmm. there doesn't seem to be anything about children, not children, there's a thing here about children, but it says here, like, spray on children's sticky hands used to go in the public bathrooms, but there's nothing here about God.
Yeah, and I
and
think
part of
that
is it's small.
It's very small, and I think that you have to have those drug facts. See how the drug facts take up all that space on the back?
Yeah.
I think that probably due to government regulations, they had to make sure they had all of that.
Well, here's the thing. I think it's that. I also think that this probably came out around COVID, along other stuff too, because you're like, we want to get our Dr. Bronner's out there, but there's also people were super hype about hand sanitizer
for
a really hard minute there.
Yeah.
There also just isn't room on this. And I wonder, it says here, like, just in all we do, let us be generous, fair, and loving to spaceship Earth
and
all
it
its inhabitants. We're all for one or none, all one. But that's,
so that's the main vibe.
But I'm saying, but that's one sentence, basically.
He got it on there.
I know. But versus 3,000 words over here, this is like maybe 15. So it's like we have like a tweet versus a full manifesto on this bottle.
Yeah. His entire message is summed up in one overarching statement at the core of the company today. In all we do, let us be fair, generous, and loving to spaceship Earth and all its inhabitants. We are all one or none, all one. Like you just said.
Yeah.
That's his statement. That's his tagline. That's his elevator pitch for everything he's doing. So
it's a little long.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, for an elevator pitch, I mean, I understand, like, back in the day, we had longer mottos.
Yeah.
It's not like, ba-da-ba-ba-ba, I'm loving it. Like, it doesn't fit.
Okay. Don't you ever bring up McDonald's and Dr. Bronner's again.
Just do it. Like, that's Nike. You know what I'm saying? Like, you got to get it down.
No, you don't.
You got to get down to something short.
You can't tell me he has to, because this stuff's still selling.
I'm telling you right now, though, but in all we do, let us be generous. No, make America great again. You see how fast the slogan works?
Oh, don't you dare.
I'm just saying, we're just throwing out, yes, we can. Throwing out slogans.
Listen to me.
What?
Dr. Bronner dies in my next sentence.
Oh, fucking.
Dr. Bronner died of Parkinson's disease March 7th,
1997.
At age 89.
1997? That man saw everything.
At the time of his death, his company produced more than 1 million bottles of soap and other products per year, but was still not mechanized.
They're doing it by hand?
In 1997, they were still not using any mechanics.
Wow, that's fucking crazy.
Yeah. So that is the lore of the label.
Can you imagine? Right? What do you do? I make soap. Oh, okay. They pay well. What do you have to do? I got to punch the eucalyptus.
I got to get all the essential oils out.
I'm just out here just squeezing.
So his son, James, took over.
Okay.
He invented Dr. Bronner's magic foam experience. Have you ever done that before?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Okay. So basically, at music festivals and pride parades and other community events and mud runs, and sometimes it, like that Red Bull thing where they shoot the little cars off the side into the water, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So what they'll do is they'll set up, it's kind of like an archway, and it produces like a lot of soapy foam, and you can run through it and play in it. So it's like a foam party.
Oh, yeah.
But I didn't know that was soap. So like,
gotcha.
It's like a fun thing. And he, James...
It's like a people car wash.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So James actually invented the snow foam, which is what it's called, snow foam, using the Castile soaps. But he invented it as a firefighting foam, which it's still used as today. So the foam is actually will help put out fires. And then Hollywood got a hold of it, and the foam is actually used as snow on a lot of Hollywood sets. So he was like, I'm going to use the Castile soap to make foam to put out fires in California, and then Hollywood uses it for snow, and then now people use it at mud runs and pride parades for parties.
What the fuck? Weird. Every turn on this is weirder and weirder.
Yeah.
I do love the Hollywood using it for snow is hilarious. Have you noticed, by the way, have you seen this on old shows, especially shows from the 90s?
Yeah.
That were like on like WB or CW, right? Those, like, they had lower budgets. And so, like, but it was back in the day when it was standard definition television. So, like, you couldn't tell that it wasn't snow.
Yeah.
There was one, I think it was Dawson's Creek, one of those. Like, somebody's, like, walking, and it's, now you notice it. It's clear, it's, like, a Christmas episode.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a white sheet.
Yeah.
But, like, there's no, like, fake snow. Like, they didn't even, like, drop powder or anything. They didn't get any Dr. Bronner's magic foam. They didn't do any of this shit. They just put down, like, a white sheet. And then they just, like, sprinkled some glitter on it so it'd have, like, a little bit of sheen.
Yeah.
And then, like, you watch a guy, like, trip over a fold in the sheet. It's just amazing.
You're like, damn it, Pacey.
Yeah.
I'm going to really like you on that other show.
What was that called? That other
With
show?
With the dolphins, right?
Yeah. Oh, there was so much to it. It wasn't Sliders.
No.
It was the other show.
Remember when we remembered things?
Oh, my God. The child has ruined so much.
He's made our lives better.
Yeah, you know, yeah, sure, also... whatever. I don't remember sometimes why I walk into rooms anymore. I don't remember what I've talked about on this podcast.
We watched this Pacey show forever.
It was the
it
one.
Was it the blonde gal?
Yeah, it was like X-Files, but they travel between dimensions. The
and
people...
she had like a bad version of herself.
Yeah, there was like interdimensional.
And the weird scientist.
Yeah, and he was like, I do acid and the thing. I was, hold on, Fox, you keep talking.
Okay. So James, also during his tenure as president, introduced 15%
Fringe. It was called Fringe.
Oh, thank God.
You know how I looked that up? I said Fox show liked X-Files and it came up. I knew it was on Fox. I knew the
I
show was original Fox.
Type shit into Google. Just like, fucking, like, trying to figure out what's
happening. Oh my God. It's like playing charades with yourself.
Okay. So during his tenure as president, James introduced 15% profit sharing and zero deductible health care for all employees and their families.
Zero deductible?
Currently, the starting wage for a staff member is $24.85.
Okay.
They have an executive salary cap. The CEO makes approximately $200,000 a year.
Okay. That's plenty of money.
When instructed to sell an inherited 1.4 million parcel of land to pay down taxes, James opted instead to donate the land to the Boys and Girls Club to create a campground for disadvantaged kids.
Fuck yeah.
They just fucked the IRS. They're like, fuck you guys.
Yeah.
Forever, dude.
All right.
Forever.
You know what? Like, on the other side of this, there's those, like, those crazy dudes in Idaho who are constantly, like, battling the IRS, and they're battling the feds. Then you have these weird hippies who are like, we're out here building our firefighting foam.
Yeah.
Fuck you. I'm just going to pay my people well.
Yeah.
It's not a tax dodge. It's so weird. All right.
So Jim had, he was a great CEO and president of the company. He did pass away.
Okay.
And then David Bronner took over. David Bronner is now in charge. I could do a whole episode on him. He's just a really weird cat. He studied biology at Harvard, and then after college took a bunch of psychedelics while hanging out with squatters in Amsterdam, and turned from an apolitical person into someone, you know, who's really on and on about psychedelics and marijuana as a medical use. Like, that, he's that guy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's very much that guy. And
I could feel that.
Yeah. So
he's also third generation, so you got to watch out. That's usually when things start to go real bad.
Yeah. He's not terrible. He's still...
No, I know, but it's still... There is that edge There's that edge with the health food store and all this different stuff where it's like, I feel like we're one paragraph away from, and then COVID hit and he came out hard against vaccines. You're saying he didn't.
No. Nope.
But I'm saying,
not that I could
typically
find.
These type of stories
yeah.
go in that direction.
Yeah.
So I'm just like,
so Dr. Bronner's, I don't even know why I didn't write this down. I know that it's worth millions and millions of dollars right now. It's a very successful brand.
Yeah.
The company does an currently and in the past does an incredible amount of
sales.
No, philanthropy.
Okay.
And they have an annual report that they release every year, which, okay, I don't know if you know what an annual report is. I have to do an annual report for my job.
Yeah.
It's a nonprofit people thing where you have to show everybody all the good work she did. Mm-hmm. And Dr. Bronner's puts out an annual report and it's on their website. I am in awe. This is one of the most incredible annual reports I've ever seen.
Really?
Don't let my bosses ever see this thing because they're going to want me to have to do something this good. It is an incredible annual report.
Just
like, as someone who's made them, I was like, oh my God.
When you started going through it, you're like, these people do a lot of good.
They do so much good.
Really?
Over the last 20 years, the company has contributed nearly $100 million to activism and charity.
Okay.
They've fought to raise the minimum wage.
I like them already. These are good people. We're drinking whatever this is.
We don't drink it. Don't drink
it. No, I'm going to drink it. It says right here, 18-in-1 hemp eucalyptus. I'm going to drink it.
Do drink that.
I mean, California's minimum wage is what, like $20 now it's getting there, I think, for fast food workers.
Something like that, yeah. They provide mobile hot showers to homeless people.
Oh.
They work tirelessly to reform drug policy. They fund integrated psychedelic therapy to help veterans with PTSD. That is one of David's pet projects. He's big into psychedelics and marijuana therapy for people with PTSD and other issues. They fight to protect farmed animals and invest in transformational agricultural practices that are fair to humans and animals. So you'll see on the bottles, there's a lot of coconut oil, palm oil, and things like that, which are notoriously bad for the planet in the way they're harvested and bad for the people that are harvesting them. So they are spearheading when it comes to making these things pay well for the farmers and the producers, and also
and
that they take
sustainable.
Care of sustainable, they take care of the environment. Also, I found out, I couldn't find any in store, but Dr. Bronner's makes chocolate bars now, and I'm going to have to order them because they're really invested in the cocoa industry and making it, you know, more sane. So it's, you know, they're doing their part when it comes to the products that they use to create the soap.
Okay.
And the last bit of information I want to give you is one, I looked into a lot of the nonprofits they work for. They do, there's so many. I'd have to do a whole episode because, like I said, $100 million in activism is a lot of fucking activism.
That's a lot.
So there's a nonprofit called the Sea Shepherd Conservation Society, which is a nonprofit marine conservation activism organization based in the San Juan Islands of Washington State. Do you remember that?
Wait, they have a conservation set up by Otter Island?
Mm-hmm.
Shut the fuck up.
They
wrapped it all together. You brought it all together. You have such a smug look on your face. No one will ever see the look on your face, but I can see it.
Yeah.
You look smug.
Smug. So the Sea Shepherd Conservation Society, that's those people that have the boats that actively monitor and fight fishing vessels. Like, they're the ones that get on their boats and fight.
Yeah.
When they see that fishers are engaging in illegal or unregulated activities.
Or overfishing.
Overfishing, causing unsustainable exploitation of marine life. So these are like battle boats, basically.
Yeah. I remember that one. Remember there was that show a long time ago about the Greenpeace ones where they would go out and they'd fight whalers.
Yeah.
I always thought it was like a little insane to make that a reality show.
Well, so that nonprofit, the Sea Shepherd Conservation Society, they have a ship named the MV Emmanuel Bronner, which was donated by the soap company.
Wait, isn't the Sea Shepherds, I think that was the show.
It might have been.
I think that was, hold on, Shepherd Show. Whale Wars.
Whale Wars.
Yeah, let me see here. It was called Whale Wars.
I can't believe there's a... It's so funny in retrospect.
It was the Sea Shepherd. Yeah, it's Animal Planet teams up with the Sea Shepherd Conservation Society to present this seafaring chronicle of activists dedicated to interfering with Japanese whaling expeditions.
Mm-hmm. And one of the boats is named the Emmanuel Bronner.
Incredible.
Yeah. On San Juan Island in Washington.
Incredible. Yeah, I remember when this show was on Animal Planet. I remember like watching it at one point and being like, there's a lot.
So, yeah. I mean, there is a lot to the story of Jim and Ralph, the sons, and David.
But you wanted to answer.
But I wanted to focus on the label.
On how we ended up
We ended up with a label, okay?
This is amazing.
But yeah, it was an incredible read. I've never had more tabs open in my life.
I think. Well, and his bottle reads like
also,
too many
wait,
tabs.
I have the entire label written out because this is so funny. I found it on Reddit, of course. In the second month of pandemic lockdown, somebody on Reddit was like, I've been in lockdown for 2 months. I've decided to transcribe the entire Dr. Bronner's label. And so he just wrote it all out, all 3,000. So I actually have it because of this person who just was stuck in their house with nothing to read but the Dr. Bronner's bottle.
Incredible.
So yeah, it's the label's an icon.
I will say that I was nervous because when you first showed me this label and pointed out what it was saying in the corner, I'm like, we're about to get dark.
Yeah.
And I'm very happy with how much light was brought here.
Yeah.
The light of the all one system here on planet ship Earth.
Spaceship, yeah.
Yeah.
Spaceship Earth.
Spaceship Earth.
We're all little bugs on spaceship Earth.
This is the most hippie shit you've ever shown me, but
yep.
It's good.
That's fine.
It's fine.
Listen, I like it.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Did he used to make a vinegar cleaner? Or is that somebody else used to make a vinegar cleaner?
No, you can mix these with vinegar.
No, I know. Okay, no, never mind. Never mind. Okay. There was a specific one. I think it was sold at Target for a while because every now and then I'd go over to somebody's house and be like, chemicals bad. And then instead of having like 409 cleaner or Windex, they would have like a bottle of vinegar spray.
Yeah.
And it would never got anything actual clean. Oh, like, everything was just like kind of sticky and smelled weird.
I have to disagree with you. I think vinegar gets a lot of stink out of stuff.
You think that. You're wrong. Anyway,
But that's all my research on Dr. Bronner's label.
I think this is a great episode. You did great research.
Thank you.
And with that,
are you ready to take a hot shower with some Castile soap?
I am terrified of using that stuff. After smelling the peppermint, I am terrified of what the rest of it.
No, the eucalyptus one smells good.
Okay. Sure.
It's the pepper one's really
now
tangy.
I'm realizing what happened here. You really wanted to go out and go buy this stuff, and you figured out how to expense it.
Yep, that happened.
I need my card back.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Pearlmania, 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 Pearlmania.
500.net. That is where, if you'd like to join our Patreon, you can get your shout out by becoming a $5 team lead member or a $30 Fed. Those are the options we have for you. What does a Fed tier get you? You might be asking. Nothing. Gets you the same exact thing. But you're a fucking Fed, so you got to pay more.
Yeah.
That's the deal, okay?
If you're a Fed, you have to let us know.
You have to let us know.
You have to pay Fed rates.
Exactly.
If you're listening in.
But we have quite a few people to give some shout outs to today.
Let's go.
We got about 15 of them. So we're going to do that right now. Mrs. P, are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay. And remember, if you join from May 1st to May 10th, you can hop into our topic suggestion pool. Yeah. On Patreon, and go tell us all those different things. Starting off, we have Tyler Joyce.
Hey, hon.
After that, we have Joe Fasigna.
Yep.
Fasigna. Fasigna.
Fasigna.
Yeah, the worst part is I actually talked to this person. After that, we have Here for Philly Tickets on My Birthday, _ September 21st.
Hey, hon. Let's go.
Yeah, those tickets are not available yet. I'm working on them to get the link up there. Yeah. But, you know, look to the show notes for the link for everything else. After that, we have Jose _ Jalapeno 211 _ AKA _ Merlin.
Hey, hon.
That is very much an AOL Instant Messenger.
I was
going to
say, that feels very AIM.
Yeah, that was very AIM. After this, we have Dwaylin Ushawi.
Hey, hon.
After that, we have Rello.
Hey, hon.
After that, we have Alexander Disaster.
Nice. Hey, hon.
After that, we have Teresa.
Hey, Teresa.
After that, we have Jennifer Jarrett.
Hey, hon.
I just like saying it.
I like Jennifer Jarrett. That sounds like a name of like a good character in a book.
There is a wrestler named Jeff Jarrett.
Oh.
I don't think Jennifer Jarrett's related.
No, I don't think so.
But it's J-A-R-R-E-T-T, Jeff Jarrett. After that, we have Lucifer Makes More Sense. I don't make the rules.
That's absolutely factual.
I feel like
name one thing he did wrong.
Okay. Well, we're going to just move on.
He's up there. He's like, hey, these humans have more rights than us angels. I think we should get together as a collective and tell God to give us the same rights as humans. What's that? Union organizing. Never did nothing wrong.
After that, hey, we have Lunchables _ make _ my _ brain _ go _.
Hey, hon.
Lunchables make my brain go burr. After that, we have, okay, I think this is duds, cats, equal consent. D-U-D-S.
I don't know what that means.
I think that might be, I don't know if the D-U-D-S is something I'm missing here.
But
we have had a joke about cats. The reason why some people hate cats is because.
Yeah, because the cats require you
consent.
To have consent. Yeah.
After that, we have Mal's Vic. Like Michael, but less abuse.
Hey, hon.
Those are two back-to-back insane
wow.
Patreon names
wow.
to have next to each other.
So just deep, wow.
After that, we have Kale.
Hey, hon.
That's K-A-E-L.
Not like the lettuce.
Yep.
It's not even a lettuce. It's a different thing.
After that, we have Miranda. Miranda writes.
See, now this is a drag name I can get behind.
And
you know Miranda. Miranda writes.
Yep.
Better have a warrant.
And finally,
mm-hmm.
we have, to close this out, throwing us all the way back to the Admiral Matt Perry days, we have Gunboat _ Diplomacy.
Let's go.
There we go. Mrs. P, do you have any final words for this evening? Some parting wisdoms that you'd like to give to the people?
Everybody take a nice hot shower tonight.
That's it?
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you guys so much for listening to us. We have been Too Many Tabs. You have been an amazing audience, and we will be back next week with another fun episode. Talk to y'all soon.
Too many frauds and too many scammers that we wish weren't real. Too many cons and too many spammers, and we're starting to feel like we got too many tabs open. It's too many tabs. Remember to smile.